Meeting of the elected official compensation. I'd like to call this meeting of the elected official compensation advisory commission to order. And at the time, at 5:35 PM. August 13th. And now, pledge of allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I'll take the roll. Chairperson Thomas J. Pierce?
Present.
Vice Chairperson Peggy Hazlett?
Here.
Commissioner Rosina Mota?
Here.
Commissioner Christina Roman? Commissioner Juan A. Figueroa?
Here.
Commissioner James A. Hall?
Here.
Commissioner Charlene M. Dixon? Commissioner Michael Takia?
Here.
Commissioner Gary L. Sylvius?
Here.
Also present, staff liaison Helen Tran, and from Human Resources, we have Elizabeth Lara.
And item AA, public comments. We have no written comments, do we, Helen? Helen, we have no written comments. No? So, we proceed from there. Are there any agenda items to be added? Not believe so. So then we move on to the consent calendar and the minutes.
And to approve?
Can I just make comment on the minutes? For the minutes, I think staff have passed out replacement page for page 2 of the minutes. Under 8.3, from the third paragraph down, had notated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th line down in the third paragraph. It said of the, it should say Superior Court, not Supreme Court. So we did post the correct wording, but we just want to share that with you that we did make that correction.
Maybe that was from the Russian Supreme
Court. Superior instead of Supreme. Okay. So that was it for the minutes. And if there's no other questions, I think we can. And Commissioner Charlene Dixon just arrived.
Welcome, Charlene.
Yes, thank you.
So, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
And second. Vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved unanimously. And now we move on to item A2, review and discuss City Council compensation and benefits, propose recommendations, and discuss next steps. Last time, of course, we, towards the end of the meeting, we did go around the table and everyone gave initial thoughts about council salaries and benefits. There were a few more specific, not recommendations, but at least what people were thinking about in terms of compensation. And Peggy listed those up on this board, which are now on the wall over here. Okay? But we did not have a chance to finish that discussion. At this point, I think we'd like to take that up And I'd like to, since we have a little bit of additional information in the packet from the last time, I'm going to ask Helen to talk about that. You may recall at the end of the last meeting, we said that if anyone wanted additional information, they would email me by a certain day and time, July 31st or something. I didn't receive any emails, but in looking through the charge for our committee, I saw that it was in the binder that we received the first night. It said that we should also look at how salaries are determined in general law cities. So I, in addition to the charter cities that we already had the information for. Mm-hmm. So I did ask Helen if she could provide that information for us, how salaries, council salaries are determined in general law cities. And that's part of the information that's in your packet. And Helen, maybe you can talk about that for a moment, any of the new information we have in the packet.
Certainly. Good evening, commissioners. So for attachment A1, I want to start off with that we did hand out a replacement page because a couple things that we caught, thank you, Chairperson Thomas Pierce, he asked to relook at the average calculation, and when we look at that, it was adjusted to make sure all the salaries were factored. It's because we probably had the asterisk line and then didn't factor that row for West Covina. That said, it brought the average from $15,476.02 to $14,951.35. So that's when that's averaging all the cities, okay? The benefits stayed the same, so the total average was slightly increased to $34,451.58. So that was an update. West Covina was updated because we double-checked salary, and that was enacted the first initial information we provided. The third column in the chart, we added how city council salary determined. Commissioner Christina Rollman? Just yes. Right. Thank you. Someone's noting that you're here.
Okay.
So that the third column of the chart does explain how the salaries are determined in the general law cities and the charter. And so for the most part, the general law cities is in accordance with government code 36516. And if you turn to the next page of attachment A2, we did print out the government code section and highlight based on the city's population. They use that parameter of that provision to determine the city council salary. So, I mean, that's pretty much, we did notate which cities apply to what section of the government code based on the population. That was straightforward.
Okay, that's the additional information. If anyone has any, Helen?
I have one more.
Okay.
And then also right. Attachment I-1, the third attachment, we received the compensation amount for the three assignments for the past mayors. It's in red, and that's for San Bernardino International Airport, Inland Valley Development Agency, and for that also in the subsection Finance and Budget Committee, so we were able to confirm the compensation for that. And that's it.
Okay. Does anyone, I'd like in a few minutes to start going around the table again and asking what people think, but does anyone have a question about the new information that's in the packet?
Just briefly, when it says set by ordinance in accordance with government code, I assume we're talking about a state ordinance. That applies to,
well, I think it's just the city ordinance for that city. If you're a general law city, then they have to make sure that any ordinance that the city passes is consistent with the state code.
Okay.
Okay? And so just a couple of, as highlighted on that, the page about the state code, like Redlands, the fact that Redlands pays $500 a month to its council members is because the state code says that if your population is between 50 and 75,000, that's what you would pay. Similarly, for Corona and Pomona fitting in to the 150 to 250,000 population. But, and I think importantly, that the last highlighted area says that councils can have higher salaries than is indicated by their population, as long as they pass an ordinance to that effect. And you can see that that's what most of the cities do. So in that lower right-hand portion of that page, Chino, Fontana, Moreno Valley, Ontario, Rancho, Rialto, West Covina, they all pay their councils more than just what would be indicated by the state code in terms of the population of the city. So that's by far the most common practice there. So they're allowed to do that. It's consistent with the state code, and that's what most of the cities do. But it's a city ordinance, and that enables them to pay those salaries. Are there any other questions about the?
No, I just want to note that Pomona is a charter city, so even though we identify it in here
mm-hmm.
as following the California's
That's
government
right.
code, it's a charter city, so it
yeah.
sets its own ordinance to that.
That's
it's
right.
not actually following this code.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Population aligned, but it's not following
right,
this.
Right.
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 And most of the cities don't. You know, they just go by the population
yeah,
guidelines. So that's the new information that we have, and it's indicated on that the big table there. The average base salary is a little bit higher than what we had there the last time because we got updated information about West Covina, and that didn't affect the West Covina's benefits package, but then it did affect the estimated overall cost. So that's the additional information that we have. Now, if you'd like, we could go around the table again, and people take a yes.
Could we move these up towards the front?
Oh, okay. Could we? Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe. Let's see. Wherever they most people can see them. That's. I can move over here, and they can be. Oh, yeah, maybe. How about that? That's a good idea. How about the far wall?
You're young. I can
see it.
Look
at
that.
It's
big
enough.
Oh, yeah, it's large enough.
You've got a repo rising.
See that?
I was trying to do color. I'm trying to capture all of you.
So this was from when we went around the table the last time, and some people in making their comments, they were thinking about some dollar amounts. I didn't get the impression that people were saying, boy, that's absolutely exactly what it has to be, but these were some kind of ballpark figures that some people mentioned. So that's there for our reference. And if it's, should we mention what, one of those was what, 50% of a superior, a Supreme Court judge, no, superior court judge. Okay.
It's got a
and then the benefits, and there was some discussion about the car allowance. And then in the middle there, we have a salary figure that's $1,193 a month. Just trying to see what. Then one, a percentage of the mayor's, 30% of the mayor's salary. The benefits there, reduced the car from 725 to 500. And then 22,500, I'm not sure.
Why I wrote that?
Well, I don't know what the...
The 22.5 is what the annual benefit package is currently.
Currently, okay.
For our elected officials.
Yeah.
That is the current.
Okay.
And then we were looking at the car allowance.
Okay. Right.
And that's what we... Okay. We looked at what that cost would be overall, multiplied by 7, and what that impact to the budget was going to be.
Okay.
And then there was a recommendation on this side, the last page. Council was 1,200 a month, 450 on the car allowance, plus the current benefit was kind of with the final.
And that's the one that I was the last person, and that was I mentioned that again is kind of like a ballpark thing. I don't feel like it necessarily, obviously, that necessarily has to be that. But
so when we were when the mention was made that of 30% of the mayor's salary, that included all the benefits and everything as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking, okay. So that figure you give down at the bottom, 33,600, is basically what we're referring to as 30% of the mayor's salary, and that includes the benefits.
Well, my recommendation was the 30% of the mayor's salary, and I was thinking of that as the dollar amount, not tied to the benefits.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
And actually, on that, I think that 33,600. I think that might have to do with the numbers on the right-hand page up there.
Right.
Because 1,200 a month would have been $14,400 annual salary.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we kept all the benefits what they were, what they are, but brought down the car allowance to $450 a month from $725, then that would have made the total benefits $19,200.
Right.
And then the $19,200 of the benefits plus
the 14.4
salary. That's what came up to the 33,600 figure.
So I mean, it was an arbitrary. You just, where'd you come up with your 1,200? Was that just just arbitrary?
No, it wasn't arbitrary. But I mean, I didn't feel like, boy, that's got to be the number, but. Where I came up with that was to look at the average salary for those comparable cities, those 12 cities. That average for the 12 cities last week, you know, before we had the new data, the average was $14,336. So if it was if we paid $1,200 a month, that would be $14,400 versus $14,336. But now we've gotten additional information that shows us that in the case of West Covina, the salaries are higher in West Covina than what we had. Okay? So if you look at that corrected data for West Covina, and then for the 11 cities, just the salaries we had last week, just did a calculation on that, and that would be, the 12 city average right now would be $14,951. If you use the new figure for West Covina. So if we were at $1,200 a month and $14,400 for the year, well, we'd be about $551 less than the 12 city average. Now, whether or not the 12 city average is the best way to look at it, that's, people could have different opinions on that, but that's where that came from. Yes.
So my thought process was close to yours, but it was different. I looked at what we have laid out and approved as the mayor's salary, tied to Superior Court judge, which is a somewhere that we can tie for future committees. They knew that we weren't rolling off of other cities. So I looked at that dollar amount of $100,021 and divided that by 7, the number of council members that are representative in our city.
Uh-huh.
And that number comes to $14,288.71 annually, which is very, very close. That monthly is $1,190.73. So that's how I tied it. Well, my methodology behind this was to tie it to the mayor's salary, giving each representative who represents a seventh of the city a seventh of that salary. So there was some linkage to a number and not somebody saying, well, you know, these other cities, how many electeds, how many representatives do they have? We just talked about it. I think there's only one other city that has 7 elected officials, and I think it's Colton. Because, you know, and looking at what they represent in their population and their responsibility. So that's kind of what I went with it, and that, you know, but it keeps our numbers very similar. So I don't know where everybody else came from, but that's my methodology, was what are they responsible for? And if you're responsible for a seventh of the city, because very few, I think, elected council members cross
boundaries.
Very parochial. This is who I represent, you know. It's not very often that they represent the city. They're right here. They're right here. So that's where I was thinking of it, you know. So, and I was only trying to tie it to something that could have a static base to it, and not all these other cities that we're looking at. But it just aligned. Once you actually processed it through my thought, it aligned with what you had going, Thomas, after or that. And I kept the car allowance at the same because I think we're going to get pushback on that. Helen's looking at me like, yes, she will. And I kept the benefit package. And so, Carrie, that's where I was.
It occurred to me that perhaps we should deal with this in benefits before we get salary. Benefits, we seem to have a lot more common ground on. I think we could put that completely to bed and then focus entirely on salaries. If that makes sense, please.
Okay, yeah. If people like to do that, that's fine. Well, then let's have people's comments on the benefits. And should we just go around and have people say what they think about the benefits?
I say keep them the same. Tie it to management and keep the car allowance as 75.
Keep it the same as this figure on the right.
No, keep it as what it currently is, which is $725 per car and benefit package tied to management. And that benefit package would be $22,500 annually, right, Helen?
$22,500.
And Peggy, how does that affect this bottom number on the middle?
It changes it. that puts that bottom number at, you look at that. So currently, 725 times 12, that would put a car allowance at $8,700 annually, and the benefit package, we never broke that out, did we?
We did, I think you have the...
In one of my back packets?
Contribution.
That would put the monthly at $1,150. So,
but if we're tying it to management, just mine every year does adjust.
Right.
So we did adjust it for next year, I think it's 1195. This one, do we have
that? Me.
Yeah, let me put that.
So 725 plus the 1195? That's 1920. $23,040 annually.
Mm-hmm.
Multiply that by...
Yep, it's $1,195 for next year,
okay.
For 2019.
So I think we're just trying to tie it to something, Michael, that keeps this in play with something, so there's not, it's not a dollar amount, it's tied to a packaging. The only thing that I think that we won't be able to do is reduce that car allowance. I mean, I think we can, I think it's outrageous, I mean, but comparative to other cities, I think it's high, but...
What? Go ahead.
I think that the council would not approve that. I think we'd get pushback from the council when we present this if we reduce their car allowance by almost half.
And we're also
okay.
In BC.
Let's address that question, and then we'll make sure that everybody gets a chance to say everything that they want. But about this question of the car allowance, it sounds like we have people that want to talk specifically
mm-hmm.
to that. So does anybody want to talk specifically to that, the current car allowance?
I was talking to my council member, didn't tell him any behind the locked door insight, but I just commented. I said, I think that car allowance is a bit high. He said it's not enough. I don't know how it's not enough, personally. I would love it, personally. But so I think Peggy's correct. I think if we get pushback on anything, that'll probably be it, because that's a real huge benefit for them.
But if I could just add to that or parse this just a little bit, break down for me what is included in the $725 car allowance. Obviously, that's way more than the gas they use.
It's just money.
It's just money on the side for a car that's specifically for city work or for their own vehicle.
There's no...
$725 is paid to them per month. But if they prefer a car, then it would be in lieu of. So it's either a car or $725 a month.
A pool car. Not a car that we give them that they take home and drive. It's a pool car. That means they come to City Hall and they get in
a city-owned vehicle,
and then
right.
they go out and do their work. And then they come back, pick up their own car, and drive home in it. It's not like a police officer gets to take a cruiser back and forth. So let's be clear about that. It's a pool car
right.
that they have access to here.
Right.
It's not that the city provides them with a city vehicle that they can drive to and from.
But $725 a month is enough to buy two new cars.
Yeah.
And I mean, that, I'm just mm-hmm. trying to be realistic here. That seems, what is their objection to having it reduced? They're just used to that inflated number. I'm sorry if I call it inflated. I'm very much in favor of all the raise in salaries and other aspects, but this $725 a month seems out of proportion to what everyone else.
I think the deal is, personally, the $725 is pretty important to them because they only get $50 a month, as it's
right,
said.
And I understand.
So if we do this and knock down the car allowance a little bit, we probably won't get as much pushback as I thought we might.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tend to agree that that would be the case.
This is where I would disagree, because part of my argument is tied to bringing a talent pool to the city. If we were to reduce their vehicle allowance, me personally, that's $725, I spend about $700 a month on our car. I don't go anywhere on the weekends very often. I go to and from work, and between our car payment and gas, that's already a lot.
Okay.
But if you're taking into account somebody who is supposed to travel and go to events and be out in the community and represent the city, your expectation of them is to be in that car and go places. So although it sounds like a lot, just comparing it to my own personal, I would tend to want to stay with it, even increasing their pay.
I believe $500 would be acceptable. I drive for a living. I'm a real estate agent and a property manager. So my job requires me to drive every single day. I do go through gas a lot, but half of my day is spent driving from house to house. I visit about 8 houses on a given day. I think that if we're increasing everything else, we should lower the car allowance, because they have an option. They have an option, either I take the 500 or I get the loaner car. There is an option. It's not like you're just taking away something without giving them something in return. If they choose to get the 500, great. If they don't, they have option B. But they shouldn't have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think that's pretty reasonable. I think the key thing for me is that the mayor is a full-time position. Council positions are not full-time positions. Department heads are full-time positions. I wouldn't compare a department head with a city council person. I think the other benefits we offer, medical, for instance, pretty good. Life insurance, quite, you know, real good. These are good benefits. We're not talking about decreasing those, most of them. So I think this is the one area where we can show a little bit of roll back.
Lon, do you have anything on this that you want to say?
Just specifically on the car?
Yeah.
Everybody has to remember it's not just gas. There's maintenance, there's oil changes, there's all kinds of other things. So it's not just two car payments, it's the maintenance of the car, which is actually much more expensive than the average car payment, along with insurance, tires. Well, I mean, every time I go get an oil change, it's like $100-something. I remember I used to be able to get an oil change for $20 at Jiffy Lube, but now it's like $100 every time I go.
No, and I want to hear more of this, what you're saying and what Rosina's saying. I just want to break down exactly what, I mean, this is a car that you use only for the city, or is it just your regular car you use?
Well,
I,
the argument is that this is their personal vehicle.
Right.
Now, my concern is if we want them to be out in the community, going to events and representing the community,
I see.
Are they going to have time because they are part-time and
so
they're going
to
be coming
out,
from their job?
It's the use, the added use of the car. I see
right.
What you're saying.
And
okay.
Then to take a pool car, they would be coming from their existing job, going to pick up a pool car, take it to the event, and then go back and drop it off and pick up their car. That's additional time on their personal time that they're probably going to be using their leave of pools at their existing job in order to leave early to do just that, to pick up a vehicle. Now, if they're using their own personal vehicle, the benefit of having that $725, it's evident.
Okay.
I mean,
yep.
It's the maintenance.
That's exactly kind of just
yeah.
What you two were saying.
So let me just mention, if I may. You know, when I'm the one that mentioned that reduction to $450 the last time.
Yeah.
Just to say, my sense is that part of the reason that figure is so high is because the salary's been stuck at $50 a month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that was a way to get around that to some degree.
Right.
Now, when we added up the salary and the benefits, it was still $10,000 lower than what the average was for council people in these comparable cities. So when I came up with that, it was kind of the idea. The salary is ridiculously low. Just on the face of it, the car allowance seems quite high relative to virtually all the other cities, because we have the data on that there. And that this $1,200 a month, again, which I'm not wedded to exactly, or the $450 mm-hmm. exactly, what that did was bring up the salary quite a bit to about the average of the 12 cities, and bring up, even with the lower car allowance, bring the salary plus the benefits to about the 12 city average of the total package. So I do think when we talk about being willing to, hoping that compensation is enough to at least make people not totally dismiss ever trying to run because the salary is so terrible, this, then you do kind of start looking at, well, what do the other cities pay? What's in the reasonable ballpark? And that's more my reasoning for trying to bring up the overall compensation package to at least the 12 city average, having a much better salary, but giving up some on the car allowance, partly because it's so out of whack relative to all the other cities. But even when you do both of those things together, and you're up around the 12 city average. But I know.
It's interesting because we asked about this dollar amount, and it's always been vetted to what directors get. So I'm going to go back to what Gary just said, which makes a whole hell of a lot more sense, is directors are full-time positions, the mayor's a full-time position. This dollar amount has just incrementally gone up because it was customary to go up, not based, I think our fiduciary responsibility here, Thomas, is exactly what you just said. You know, our council members are full-time council members. You know, even on their best week, they're not going to an event every night.
Right.
Okay, and chances are it's within their ward, which is within a very, you know, some wards are stretched, and I will give you that, but they're still within their own wards. And I think of every time I've seen a council member in my 20 plus years here, you know, it's around the corner from where they live. So they're not driving like you're driving, I'm driving. I drive for a living also, you know, and I get 56 cents a mile because that's what the federal government says I get, and it's supposed to cover my maintenance, it's supposed to cover my tires, it's supposed to cover all that stuff. And I still don't get that kind of dollar amount in my you know, mileage, because I don't get to chart from my house to my office. I get to chart from my office from the community that I represent and the businesses I represent, as you do. It's not because I live somewhere else. So I think our fiduciary responsibility is to say, what are you actually doing and what are your responsibilities? And as a part-time council member, $725 is a lot of money for car. You know, and so I think by doing what you just said, let's be responsible, not just say we're going to give it to you because this is what you always give it. Let's ratchet that back and say, but we think that your salary needs to be tied to what your position is. And yes, your benefit package I think is very important, and I think you are a management level, so I think it needs to stay there. But I think for once, you know, as citizens of this community, to actually say we're going to be fiscally responsible and not just give you it because that's what you've always gotten, but to put some thought behind it, Thomas. I'm like, you know, Gary, I love where you were going with this.
One thing occurred to me, just like what you're saying, 56 cents a mile. At $500 a month, you're talking 900 miles plus. So city council person in this town in a month, right, 900 miles, I love you. That's pretty substantial.
If what Juan and Rosina are saying, that she's actually uses that, and you know, all that, I mean, would it still be fiscally responsible for us then to say 500 instead of 450, and still look fiscally responsible by having that kind of an allotment for cars, and that would meet that responsibility, I think. I'm just throwing that out. if 450, I don't want them to be in a position where they're actually having to eat into now the salary we've given them, the decent salary, to maintain the vehicle and then bring the whole package down once again. I'm not saying that 725 is not too much. I'm just saying that we might be able to compromise here.
The data that from the other cities, and I'm not saying we have to follow any, you know, this is just information for us. So, two cities pay $500 a month, Chino and Moreno Valley. Three cities pay between $200 and $350 a month. And six cities pay nothing. Because that's what the chart said, you know, on our benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of the reason that made me feel like $725 sounds, but again, I think I don't blame them for wanting $725 when your salary's $50 a month. It's ridiculous.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. My sense is let's get it up in the neighborhood of what we're a citizens committee. You know, we're not experts on all this, but we're just kind of trying to do what makes sense.
Yeah. And to that end, let's address that to Rosina and Juan here. Does that seem fair enough? If we were set at $450 or $500 a month with that increase in salary, does that fulfill the need for for what the extra car coverage was? Do you think?
Me personally, I live 3 miles from work.
Yeah.
We have a Jeep. My husband is about 5.5 miles.
Yeah.
Round trip every week, gas, maintenance. I mean, we're looking at $600-$700 a month just for us, just to go to and from work, to market, whatever. Now, granted, that's because we have a car payment.
Right.
But if you don't have a car payment, fine. But if you get off your car and you're looking to get another car and you don't want to use a good car, something to take into consideration.
Yeah.
Again, the part that I want to stress is if we don't do the 725, I'm not married to it. Granted. However, if we are to draw a talent pool that is going to want to come here and serve, it's got to be more than the benefits package. It's got to be more than the car allowance, and it's got to be more than that. Hey, it's got to be the entire picture. So if we skimp on one to say because we increased the other, the argument is to be equal. Okay, they didn't know about this when they weren't here before, so this is all new to whoever may come in future years. But are we going to draw the kind of talent pool that we're going to need moving forward? Because yes, this is a part-time position, but we want people to give their full-time heart to this community.
I agree with you, Rosina, but the only thing I'm going to challenge you, we keep calling this car allowance, it should be mileage reimbursement. To me, it's mileage, and that's where, for me, who drives, and I drive a Kia, because that's what I can afford with my salary and my position, and my title is still CEO, but I can afford a Kia, but my mileage reimbursement, which covers my maintenance, like Juan says, you know, is this federal limit. It doesn't, in that titling of mileage reimbursement, it's not my car payment. It's my maintenance, my mileage reimbursement of the extra wear and tear I put on my car. So that would be my only, and I'm with you 100%. I want to draw talent.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, as a citizen oversight, I think 725 is outrageous.
I'm not married to the 725. The argument to be made to drop it is great, and I'm for it. I don't know. Is 500 where we want to be? I don't know.
Yeah.
Half these cities have no car allowance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they have trouble filling their council budget?
Plus, they have the option of the pool car.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you don't have to always use your personal car. You can go back and forth depending on what the event is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to check it out for the whole month. You can check it out for a day.
Right.
Rosine, if I could say I hear you what you're saying, and you know, but I do think, like in kind of what we're generally talking about here, we are talking about increasing the overall compensation pretty significantly.
Yeah.
Now it was kind of ridiculously low before. But at least we're kind of talking about bringing that up to the overall average. So the increase in the salary is much more than the reduction in the car allowance. Mm-hmm. Maybe we do a little better, and in terms of people's willingness, at least people wouldn't be able to say, gosh, all the other surrounding towns, the compensation for their council is a lot higher. That wouldn't be the case. The case would be like we're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
We're kind of paying what the others are paying. Now, when we just fooling around with numbers earlier today, seeing that the actual salaries for West Covina were higher than what we had here, and now that the 12 city average is $14,951, I wonder if maybe, these were just numbers I was playing with. I wasn't thinking, boy, the committee's going to want to do that. I mean, the commission's going to do what you all want to do. But if you raise that monthly payment in salary from $1,200 to $1,250, that would make the annual salary $15,000 instead of $14,400. The total benefits, if we kept everything the same but reduced that car allowance from $725 to $450, that would be total benefits of $19,200, just a little bit below that $19,500 average. And so with those benefits and getting $1,250 a month, the total compensation would be $34,200, and the 12 city average with the corrected data for West Covina is $34,451. That's the average. So if we did something like that, we'd be $251 less than the 12 city average. I mean, that's pretty darn close, And there, I don't care if we're $250 below or $250 above, because you're kind of in the same ballpark. And again, I'm not wedded to those numbers, but I think it does address that issue of we can't be underpaying, we've had to do kind of unusual things because of that darn $50 a month salary. Yeah. To kind of jiggle things around, even to get the two-thirds of what the other cities were paying. Now we have a chance to do something that seems just generally to make more sense, with the idea that all this commission does is make recommendations. The council doesn't like it, they can do something, but I think, whatever we come up with, the thing I feel good about is this is a good faith effort on the part of citizens to try to do something that's sensible. So I know we're going to come up with something sensible, and then the council can decide what they want to do. And since this commission's existence is in the charter, this commission's always going to meet in the future. It may not be us, we might not be the members of it, but there'll be a way for the community to always participate in this discussion and make recommendations to the council. I would hope that the council would think, man, this is a lot better than what we had before. Please.
I have a question. I like how she came up with her figures, because it kind of sets a precedent to be continued by future committee. So I'm curious, for one time I calculated, to see what your numbers would come up with that reduction in the car allowance to the
So the annual salary would be $14,288.71. That would be the annual salary. Benefit package now would be, we take, are we going with 450 or are we going with the, what number are we going with, y'all?
Let's go with 500.
500? So that would be, you know, $6,000 for car allowance plus the $1,195 for the health benefits. So let's do the math real quick on that. So $1,195 plus the 500 plus the 14,000 or this. So 6,000. $34,628.71.
Give it again.
$34,628.71. Per council member. Part time.
And that's going with 1/7 the mayor's salary. Mm-hmm. So when it goes up, their salary will go up every year.
Yeah.
So I think that's a simpler way of trying to come to an amount.
And there's a reason behind that also, because being part of our police officers with their charter rule of, is it 186?
Yes.
186. They get to take three cities of similar demographics, and then city chooses three cities, and they do a comparative. Give me the how they work.
So we survey a city's population of 100,000 to 250,000. That come up to about 55 to 57 cities throughout mm-hmm. California. Then you get all the salaries, and you start striking from the top and bottom, and you meet 10 middle cities. It could be 11 cities. If it's 11 cities, you flip a coin.
Right.
To get the 10 middle cities. And that's how you come up with salary.
And I would hate for that to be what the council thinks that we're doing.
Right.
Is that we just looked at an average of other cities and then them say, you know, well, I like what Riverside costs. Riverside's paying $41,000. Why can't we get what Riverside's making?
Right.
Is what I would hate to have happen, is them to pull out what they think is their sister city, which is Riverside. Why aren't we getting what Riverside's making? Or why aren't we getting what, you know, so-and-so? And we can come back and say, well, it's an average, but if we tie it to something that is static, mm-hmm. then I think then we're saying this is how we determine the mayor's salary, and we've approved that. Now we're asking that you take a seventh of it. Or if we somehow have a weird charter change or change, and also we get five of them up there, that it's a fifth of the mayor's salary, you know, cause only because Colton's starting to do that right now. They're like, we've got way too many people. So, you know, that's all I was thinking. Because I look at how crazy 186 can get.
Yes. No, 186 is not in the charter anymore.
But the current process, we still use until we have a new contract.
Yes, it is. Yes. Okay.
Until 2020.
But it's part of the collective bargaining
yes.
process.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So 186 isn't in the charter. Now, in the negotiations, you tell me if I'm wrong about this, Helen. I mean, in the negotiations, the two sides can say, well, okay, for this contract, this is the way we'll do it for the next X years. We'll follow something that was essentially like 186. But once that contract is over, the city is not committed to what used to be Section 186. It's part of the collective
right.
bargaining process.
Same
now,
as this
they group. May bargain again.
Right, but the
and
same
say
as
that's, that,
the next
you know.
Group may come in of commissioners and say, that last group of commissioners, we don't care what they decided, we're going to go this way. Well,
and that's
I'm just
fine.
Saying,
you know.
So I but agree with you. You know, I'm just trying to get a methodology
right.
behind it that when
exactly.
they look at it, they say, this makes sense to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And not because we took an average of other cities that, you know, even though the number came up real close.
Very close.
I think for our edification, we're like, hey, we nailed it real close. We actually got something that's really damn close to this. So it makes sense to us. I'm just trying to put something together that when they look at it in an agenda item, that they're like, wow,
yes.
this makes sense to us. It's fair. it's fair, you know, and not some pushback to it.
Something we pulled out of there.
Should we vote separately on the benefits package and the salary, or should we put it all together?
I think we need to vote on that car thing.
No. So let me say, I'm less troubled by looking at it a ballpark average. I do think that reflects, you know, considerations of what other cities are doing. We do want to make sure that we're not way behind. And the specifics of it are, the salary's woefully low, let's raise it substantially. And given the way things were done before, that car allowance seems like out of line with what pretty much all the other cities are doing. Now, the one thing about the 1/7 that I'm not crazy about, although I think it makes some sense, and I'm certainly not completely against it. But when I think of council people, the other seven of them, I hope that while I hear that they're paying attention to their own wards, they're also supposed to be paying attention to generally what's good for the city, and not not representing 1/7 of the city, but representing the whole city.
Well, I think collectively that's what they're doing, even though they're working for their district, collectively for the advantage of the city.
You would hope that, but I still listen to every single council meeting and still watch every single council meeting and been president, and they say my constituents, and they're talking about their constituents in their ward. They're not talking about Fred's constituents in the fourth ward when they're in the first ward or when they're in the third ward. They're just not. I hope, Thomas, that they have this attitude that I've always been blessed with by working for a mayor, but
right.
I will argue. I think they are parochial. I think they are zoned in on their ward and what's good for their ward, and I've seen that battle go 4-3 all the time.
Well, I think even with that being said, they're part-time, and getting 1/7 of the mayor's salary still is a good salary, plus their benefit package. I mean, some days they don't have to do anything. The mayor has a job every day, all day, and he has to go everywhere. And I see him all over the place. Of course, I see my
do believe
too.
That dividing the mayor's salary in 7 will not only tie them together, but it will bond them together. Because if they don't talk between themselves and they don't talk to the head, which supposedly it's the head and then everybody else, this is telling them, okay, you have a mayor, and we stand together. Whether I don't know what's going on in your ward or you don't know what's going on in mine, we still should have some sort of communication because this is our job.
Yep.
And I think indirectly, we're telling them that if we divide it into 7 versus not having that division. They already have that subdivision between all of them, in my opinion. From what I've seen and interacted with each one of them, because I do visit each one's wards and indirectly.
Well, they have to appear that they're like working for their wards if their
election
is based on that. Yeah. So I certainly understand that. But hopefully, they have the future of the city in mind above putting country before before state.
Can we include on there the total? It was $6,000 if we're using the $500 a month. It was $6,000 for the car allowance, and then the benefits total?
$1,195.
Oh, times 12, so.
$14,340.
So how
this? Yeah. So you have that. That's the current for 2018-19, right?
This is for 2019.
So that's
when the salary benefits will be is perfect. So the car
we're saying 6,000. Is that in motion?
Mm-hmm. 6,000 is
500 a month.
There are benefits packages in there, and it's healthcare.
Yep.
20,000 benefits.
The high benefits package.
So total. 20,340 was the high benefits.
20,340.
And then, do we want to vote on that, Thomas?
Well, sure. I think we should see where we are in terms of the consensus, and then what are we voting on exactly?
This in red, the benefits.
The benefits. That's including car allowance.
Mm-hmm.
Can everybody see that?
Okay. Okay.
I'd like that. So are we kind of, if we did this, we'd be recommending that the council salary would automatically be 1/7 of the mayor's salary?
I think we're voting on just on the benefits right now.
Well,
I don't think that we have to agree on that premise. It just happens to work out that way. I don't know that we have to agree on that premise, that it should be a 7.
Now, I'm thinking that may be a, I mean, here's the one little thing I'm thinking about. Are we, if it turns out that we are saying it that's generally what it should be, 1/7, are then we kind of building in automatic increases for the council's wages?
Well, there's not automatic increases for the mayor's salary, so no, we're not building that.
The mayor's is. The mayor's is tied to a Superior Court judge. So when a Superior Court judge's salary goes up, the mayor's salary goes up.
I see. So you're saying that what we decided as the mayor's salary, we did tie it. Yeah,
yes.
You're right.
Yeah. It's 50% of a Superior Court judge.
Okay.
And do you think there would be any objection to kind of saying, well, you know, it's not, we don't know that the Superior Court judge is automatically going to get a raise every year. But if that happens most of the time, then you're pretty much mostly building in kind of automatic increases. And but some people say, well, you know, is that what we should be doing in the city? Should it be like automatic increases? Or do you look at what the city's financial condition is?
If you talk about employees, there's a cost of living, there's a COLA. There's a COLA, even if you don't get a step increase or you go to furloughs. There's a COLA still that exists, correct?
In the current contract, yes.
In the current contract. But, you know, if the city hits hard times, or just, I'm not talking about bankruptcy, just the next recession, and the budget is
we've lived through it, so that
then
into furloughs.
Then so if you're recommending automatic increases there.
But the mayor and council have the discretion to not do a COLA increase during the recession.
Yeah, and they would have that discretionary power here because this we're just making a recommendation.
Right.
And they're then passing an ordinance. They could say, well, okay, this is what you've recommended, but this year we're not going to do it. You know, they could do that.
Which they've done in the past.
Well, with that understanding, I think that's reasonable.
I made the last motion. I'm willing to make a motion so we can discuss it, or at least take a vote on it. So I'll make a motion that we tie the council salary to 1/7 of the mayor's salary, and that the benefit package is tied to the management on health, and the car allowance is reduced to $500 a month. That would be my recommendation.
And then, so that would be for this year. That would be the recommendation of what?
January 2019 is supposed to be
34,000 $628, is that what that is? And that turns out to be
200 over.
200 over what the 12 city average is of 34,451.
Upper hand on the other cities so far. Talent pool would be a little bit more.
Well, it depends on what cities you look at.
Well, that's true.
It comes down to, and that would be, again, there's a second to the motion, so we can discuss it. Okay. So that, again, is reason to. Of my philosophy. It may not be all of yours, and I'm just saying, I'm trying to tie it to something that they don't come back and say, what if we have these cities as our average? And next thing you know, we're dealing with 10 cities that have that are paying, and we saw that. We saw what San Diego was paying. We saw what LA was paying. We saw what Oakland was paying.
But you also look at the fact that the income in San Bernardino is way lower than everybody else's.
Right. Yep.
So we can't expect.
I don't think we would get pushback presenting this.
I don't think so either.
Gary?
I don't think I can go along with the mayor's salary being said, council salary at 1.7 for the mayor. That just doesn't sit well with me. I think it's something that should be decided upon and reviewed every year by this committee and the council again. I don't like the fact that the Superior Court judge's salary does go up regularly, every year. And this will go up along the way, but I don't think I necessarily want to build that in.
And in pursuit of what Gary is saying here, what if we just soften the language instead of saying tied to the mayor, to say should reference the mayor's 1.7? I mean, that doesn't obligate them to, but it shows where we're getting our figures, and it doesn't obligate them in any legal sense. Along those lines, how about if we said something along in terms of a rationale it's essentially the average of what surrounding cities are paying, and it's about 1/7 of.
There you go. Yeah. That's another way to put it.
And that we're not saying we're recommending that it's always got to be 1/7.
Exactly.
We're just saying we came up with a package here
that results in
that that
ratio.
Is about the average of the 12 comparable cities.
I think that's a safer
and
way to do it.
That currently that represents. About 1/7.
So, I can amend my motion to the council salary of $14,000 annually, which is about 1/7 of the mayor's salary, which is comparable to the average of surrounding cities.
$14,000.
Right. Flat number. Annual $14,000. And keeping these two.
That sounds a little more fiscally responsible, I think. We do that.
So I'll amend my motion to say that with no explanation, just annual salary for the council member is $14,000, benefit package tied to management and confidentials, and the salary to.
So we're not explicitly saying it's 1/7.
No, that's just our rational here. And it's about the average of what we
all
take.
That also provides some flexibility for people that may think it shouldn't be exactly 1/7 on a continuing basis. And plus, I think it's consistent with the idea that this commission is going to continue to exist. And they can look at the data and that they feel is relevant and come up with
challenges at your own peril. Put in small print.
So you have a motion and a second.
Are there any other discussion of this?
I'd actually think the council salary could be a little higher.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I really think the 14 is just on the low end. I mean, a lot of these cities aren't considered as small as that.
But generally, it could go up with, if it's, you know.
I'm sure we'll share with you review again. That's not how we're done.
It gives us some room to grow. I mean, we're taking a big leap here with our new budget, our post bankruptcy budget.
Can I also say one other thing? Is we have 7 council members. That every city here, except has 5. That's an increase to our budget by 2 additional council members. And an elected mayor. Okay?
Right.
City of Ontario has 5 on the dais, including the mayor.
Yeah.
We have 8 on the dais. We're picking up some numbers here to our budget.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at that bigger picture too. This
right.
isn't just per person, it's how many is it multiplied by.
Right.
5 on the dais and the mayor is elected separately, you got a rotator?
In Ontario?
Yeah.
The mayor is elected separately, but there's only 4 other elected officials. So there's 5 that sit on the dais. Same way in the majority of the cities in our region. So we looked at that in one of the original ones, but we didn't look at how many actual elected officials are being paid this. So here in Ontario, here in San Bernardino, it's 8, y'all. There's 8 getting that benefit package. There's 8 being paid the car allowance. That's a big number. You know, when you have cities that are paying 0, you start to look at what this in budget impact is, and I mean, it's a multiplier. So,
Gary, the 12 city average for mayors right now is 14,951. On the other hand, Fontana right now, they have a bigger benefits package, but their mayor salary is $14,040. The other kind of, there's a couple others that are sort of right in the middle too. Like Rialto, it's 13,248, but they have bigger benefits. Okay.
But those are not full time mayor.
Yeah.
And not charter cities. It's not apples to apples, I guess.
So,
shall we see where we are?
Yeah. So we have a motion here for. Oh, okay.
This one here.
Okay, so we're not tying it to 1/7, but we're saying it's approximately 1/7.
Right.
Is that the idea? Okay, so there's a motion to recommend to the council a mayor salary of $14,000 per year. Council salary of $14,000 a year, which is approximately 1/7 of the mayor's 2018 salary, and is pretty close to the, it's a little bit below the 12 city average. We have a total benefits package of $20,340, which includes the general management benefits package, and then a car allowance of $500 a month, which would make for a total benefit package of $34,340. That's the motion on the floor.
One last question. Are we going to retain the idea that if a person doesn't participate in the health benefits, they're going to receive the same $3,000 contribution to their deferred comp? Is it part of the current tax rate?
Right.
Are we going to retain that?
Yes.
So there's a motion on the floor. Are people ready to vote on that? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. So we have an 8-1 majority in favor of this the council salary and benefit package, and that's where we stand. Now, I think the next part of this agenda item of A2 says review and discuss city council compensation and benefits, propose recommendations, and then discuss next steps.
And I think, Helen, that's where we need your input regarding what we've talked about in terms of the timeline, and then what actually needs to be prepared. Because my understanding is that you will actually present this to the council at the council meeting. That's the way that works, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So then we need to find out how that all works, and I guess we need to kind of agree on what we think should be said. Is that in terms of summing up the recommendation for both the mayor's compensation and the council compensation?
So. Okay. So my staff will put together, based on our meetings and the commissioner's recommendations and dialogue, we'll put together a staff report with the recommendation, and then so that will go to council September 5th, because we have another scheduled meeting August 27th. What we'd like to do is present to the commissioners on August 27th meeting the staff report and what will be presented to council on September 5th. And that'll give us a day or two to kind of modify it if the commissioners want some modification to that staff report or what's being written up and presented to council. So September 5th will be provided the recommendation and the ordinance, so the first hearing, public hearing, so that would be the date. That is the timeline as far as how this will go moving forward, since there is a proposed recommendation for the mayor's salary and the city council. As of today.
What was that date again?
So September 5th, council meeting. And at that council meeting, I think at the last meeting, it was asked, should the commissioners attend? Ideally, the chair should attend if the chairperson is absent, the vice chair, mm-hmm. and so forth. So,
and then, of course, everyone else is invited, of course, attend. If they want to attend.
Right.
And do they give us a time certain on that, or it's just wherever you're on the agenda? Because I've been to council meetings where you're on the agenda and you're sitting there 3 hours waiting for.
Well, it is a staff report and a hearing, so it is at the end.
It's at the end.
It is absolutely at the end.
Okay, all right. And now, so am I understanding correctly, Helen? So. You and your staff are going to write up your sense of what we've come up with here. You know, and then that's going to be the agenda item for the next meeting to make sure that everybody on the committee is comfortable that what you've written up is what we've agreed to, both for the mayor's compensation and the council compensation.
That is correct.
Is that right?
Correct. Staff would like to make sure the commissioners are comfortable with what's being written up and will provide to the city council on September 5th. So we'll draft them based on the meetings, the dialogue, and the recommendations, and then we'll draft that way, and then go from there.
Does that process sound okay to people? Is there any other? Okay. Is there anything else we need to do now?
That's pretty much it. You've proposed a recommendation, and staff will then now go back and draft a staff report and everything that we've discussed. So we'll come back August 27th to share that and discuss that. And that'll give us some time a day or two, to kind of just modify, if necessary, of the staff report for council September 5th.
Okay. So we are going to meet here. Our next meeting will be the 27th of August, because I didn't have that.
I didn't have that.
That's not an official date we have set.
The last statement on tonight's agenda.
Okay.
Motion that the meeting be adjourned to the regular meeting of August 27th. I think we did it earlier than before.
We agreed to two dates, and I think we did the 13th and 20th to be safe.
You're right.
So this is our last meeting then?
Potentially, if the city council goes forward with the recommendation and the ordinance, and then it goes back for the second hearing, so that would occur, the 5th, the 19th would occur. Now, 30 days, actually, October, right, Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
But James,
yeah,
but we will have a meeting here on the 27th, and the agenda there will be
what Helen and her staff have written up. And
to see if we have
to make sure that is saying what we agreed to.
Okay, I see.
Right, is that correct?
Very good.
So that will be just another regular meeting.
Well, we're ahead of our schedule because we made that September 5th day, so.
Very good.
Let me just say, I think this has been really a good, so far, a good faith committee. The people are trying to do the right thing and are serious about what they're doing. And I'm sure we've all been on a lot of committees over the years where that has not necessarily been the case. So anyway, thank you. So do we just need a motion to adjourn, is that right?
That is correct.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Aye.
And we have a second. All in favor of adjourning at 6:55?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Contact you. Okay.